This is Phil Lamar, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009. I'm, of course, TF Chair Mike. Joining me once again, as always, Mr. David Draper. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello. I'm pretty well.
That's good. That's good. Today we head back to that galaxy far, far away, and we continue the musical journey as we discuss the Star Wars Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, otherwise known as Episodes 4, 5, and 6. The scores by Mr. John Williams. So lots of music, folks. Wow. I forgot how good. I mean, I knew, but literally I was listening to these and I'm like, holy crap. So good.
I never forgot. Like, this stuff was my child. No, but I mean, like, I this stuff was just hugely. I mean, when I was a kid, we had the disc, the vinyl LPs, right. You know, the one that came with the cool poster that's now worth a ton of money. And I don't know if my copy, you know, because I my original copy unfortunately died because it was on my Mickey Mouse phonograph, 1970s. My dad stumbled over it. My dad had issues. But like, I don't know if my I eventually got like new copies of each of the soundtracks on vinyl. Mm-hmm. I had them up on the wall. And unfortunately, because I guess I don't trust the frames, like I have them basically sealed in there with tape. So the question of the poster came up for something we were talking about before we started recording. Yeah. For another project we will be working on, someone talked about that poster, and I was like, oh yeah, I wonder if my Star Wars soundtrack has that. I'm like, I don't know, because it's hermetically sealed.
Yeah, so, it's hermetically sealed.
It is, but I when I was a kid, I fell out of a tree and broke my leg, and one of the things that really like I helped motivate me, helped keep me from getting really depressed, was listening to the Star Wars soundtrack all the time. It was another big part of my like these soundtracks in particular are like, you know, John Williams in particular is a huge part of my childhood, my life. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, this was the one episode I was like, yeah, I don't have to prepare for this one. I know this one's like even the prequel one, which I've listened to those soundtracks a lot. I was like, I probably should listen to those. But this one, yeah. I'm like, I know this stuff like the back of my hand.
It always surprises me listening to the score outside of the movie or the TV show or the cartoon or the video game. Because when the music is attached to the whole project, you have the music, you have the actors or voice actors or whatever. So you have them talking. You have all of the sound effects. This is why I love soundtrack scores, because you don't have any of that. You just have the music, and you know, we know, like, main title, anybody that is anybody that whatever that has been paying attention to Star Wars for the last 50 years, almost 50, or is it over 50? Anyway, 48, 49 years, whatever it is.
It's pretty close to 50, yeah. Lucasfilm had its 50th a couple years back, like 1 or 2 years ago.
Yeah, but I mean, from 77 to now, it's, you know, from the original release year for Star Wars to now, it's close. It's freaking close.
Yeah,
so,
okay, yeah.
You know, the thing is, like, everybody knows that main title. Everybody knows. When we get, because we're gonna talk about these in order, folks. We're gonna talk about A New Hope, Empire, and then Return of the Revenge, whatever you want to call it. But what I love about these albums, and when this initially, these remastered versions, because I have the remastered version on Spotify. I have 16 tracks here. You can tell me in a moment what's on your big vinyl.
My DVDs. No, dude, I've got like. I was digging through them. I think I said this. I've got like, you know, I've got the vinyls, but those are literally art pieces at this point. Like, I've got, you know, the original DVD releases, I think, for all of them. Mm-hmm. I've got the special edition DVD releases for all three.
Yep.
I've got at least for Empire, I've got like a special one that was done like the music as it's played in concerts.
Right.
Yeah. And I've never found that for the other two.
Okay.
I'm not sure they exist, but you know, it was just like, I've got, and then I've got like all these like weird, because they always did like, you know, compilation ones that like were of dubious legal quality. Not the Miko one. I've got the Miko one, of course.
Right. Okay.
In fact, like the original ones, I've got that on the wall, and I've got a DVD, or I've got a CD version. I've got two versions of that. You know, Galactic Funk. And but I've also got like, you know, the music of Star Wars on Close Encounters. And you're like, okay, was this a legitimate thing, or was this illegally produced? But I've got two different versions of those.
Yeah.
I like the music from Star Wars. I like John Williams.
No, absolutely.
I think he's got a future in music.
Oh, stop.
He's talented. Well, you know, it's funny because like there was a relatively recent, not documentary per se, but a thing about Star Wars, the original Star Wars, and you know, had a lot of interviews with people. And like the funniest part was they asked Harrison, you know, they were asking everybody, you know, everyone was doing the whole, oh, I thought it was going to be a flop, you know, science fiction, nobody likes science fiction. And Ford was like, oh, no, I knew it was going to make money, you know, because he's Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
But at one point, they're talking about everything was a risk. And even the John Williams score was taking a risk. And I'm like, this dude just won the Oscar for Jaws?
Yeah.
I think you're overplaying the whole, I mean, yeah, it was a big risk, but I think the John Williams soundtrack was probably one of the few guineas that movie had going for it.
Yeah, I think the risk comes in the fact of because back then you didn't have what you have now. And even today, there are plenty of risks taken today, even with social media, even with the internet and everything else. But back then it was more of a quote unquote risk because you didn't know. You weren't going to know until the audiences came out of the theater. And who knows if people, you know, obviously they did, hello, because we're here almost 50 years later, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But there wasn't the communicationable action between fan or viewer and person who worked at, like, I don't want to just say director, but like Lucas or anybody that worked on any of these three films specifically, the original trilogy. There wasn't that fan producer connection because back then you had to be trying to contact a Hollywood executive in those days, folks. It's basically like writing a letter to your senator or your congressman or whatever kind of thing. Like, it was really difficult.
Well, they actually believe we will do in a future episode. We will actually talk about that process because, we're going to be discussing a book that kind of actually details the process of trying to get in touch with these people. One of the things I was going to say is I think the risk part came from the nature. It was the idea of a science fiction movie having a classic, lush orchestral soundtrack as opposed to, you know, the theremin and electric beeps and boops, you know, like a science fiction-y soundtrack. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like a bad B movie, like... You know, as opposed to something like Lawrence of Arabia, or, you know,
yep.
I think that was what they meant by it was a risk. Obviously, it paid off.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just looking at his Oscar list, and I believe that, got another Oscar for that one.
Yep. But I mean, you know, Star Wars, and looking at Star Wars now, for me, when I noticed these was, I mean, I've always known about them. Kind of thing, obviously, but like for me, when I noticed the version of the soundtrack that I've been listening to, it was 2018 when all of the John Williams music showed up on Spotify.
Okay.
And this is the cool/weird thing, and I guess it kind of works with the stuff, but. So I don't remember off the top of my head. I think, and this is going back just to last episode because I don't think I mentioned this, but in these, the album art for these digital releases, Phantom Menace was silver, Attack of the Clones was gold, Revenge of the Sith was purple. In this, it's blue for A New Hope, red for Empire, and green for Jedi for the subtitle for A New Hope. Empire Strikes Back. Anyway, the point is that these album arts, and the fact that it said, ooh, remastered, I was like, ooh. And most people say, oh, remastered, that means they went... No, that just means that they made the sound better. Like, it can still sound like it sounds in the movie, but it also can sound... Digital remastering is not a bad thing. It's like... I know on several of the Superman scores, I think it's Superman 2 maybe, they had to do a bunch of finding stuff for that because it was missing kind of thing. But Star Wars, man, this... What I loved about listening back to this over the last 2.5 weeks is that we all know Cantina Band. We all know the main title. We kind of, most people will know, and you'll probably just scoff at me when I say this, most people will know the Princess Leia theme, obviously, but like Mouse Robot and Blasting Off, I didn't remember. Like, I know where that is. I know where that is in the movie and whatever else, because that's just right before the return home and all that. But like, I didn't remember that part of the music because, again, when you're watching the movie, you've got the speeders going and the blasters and the lightsabers and the whatever. So that's what I love about taking the music out of the thing it's in, because I get to appreciate it more.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
you're not wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. And it evokes a thing of like I can like right now. I can close my eyes and I can hear Inner City, which is track 8 off the 16 tracks here. That's right before Cantina Band. Like, I can hear that. The Rescue of the Princess. I can hear that music. I remember that when Ben dies because he sacrifices himself and then we have the TIE fighter attack and all. Like, I hear that music and it, like, literally I can just close my eyes and see the scene in my head. And I haven't watched Star Wars. I haven't watched A New Hope since we started this podcast. Couple
weeks, yeah, like
well, okay, yes, but yeah, a couple weeks. We did.
Unless you didn't bother to watch it for the show, you.
No,
fibber.
I watched it. I watched it.
It has been a couple months at least. Well,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, that's one of those things, like, saying, oh, it's been a couple of months since I've seen this movie. It's like, yeah.
But again, it's like preparing for this. Like, I've been listening to these three scores, technically six, because the other episode we did previous to this, I've been listening to these six film scores for the last 2.5, 3 weeks, maybe a month. And I've taken, what I did was, I took a day in each of the weeks where it's like, this is this day for this score, this is this day for that, like one score a day. And I would listen to it over and over and over again until I basically have these notes and these tunes burned into my head, because that's how I consume my soundtracks. I literally, as you're going to hear this way later, folks, in December, but as we're recording this, I literally just came off of interviewing last night the Dynamic Music Partners, Lolita Romanis, Michael McQuiston, and Christopher Carter. They do the DC scores. They've done the Teen Titans score. They do the Batman Beyond scores. They've done Babylon 5. They've done a whole bunch of stuff. They've done Young Justice. They did Justice League. And I was talking to them about all this music stuff with Batman Beyond because it's its 25th anniversary this year. So yeah, but going from 2.5 weeks of mixing in Batman Beyond and Star Wars to just Star Wars, man, A New Hope has such a great score. It really does.
I agree.
And again, the music of, like, Rescue the Princess, we all know what Rescue the Princess is. It's the trash compactors. It's the whole thing. Like, you know, and just hearing that without them yelling in the trash compactor is very, very cool. And Williams does amazing things. Everyone will, because most general fans that aren't us, that aren't David Draper folks, David Draper, you know, lives, breathes, eats, sleeps Star Wars, which I'm not saying that as a bad thing. I'm saying it as a fact. Most people will know the main themes. Most people will know the main title or Imperial March or
I think with the first movie, Like you say that, but like I think if they hear it, they'll be like, "Oh, that's the music when the trash compactor was." Because it's all very distinctive.
Oh yes.
Like even within its own movie, you know, because music can sometimes be very samey. You can repeat themes a lot. Where I mean, if you know, we talk about the Cantina Band, but like, you know, like I said, the trash compactor, it's got that, you know, if you play Leia's theme, if you play like the throne room theme before the end title, the you know, like I think people will, in this particular case, people will recognize that a lot more than they would necessarily music from some other movie, or even necessarily music from other Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
I think it's just very, you know, Williams had a way of making the music very iconic to the fit the scene like a glove.
Yeah, and this glove is nice to be listening to because it has that, like, it has the big anthemic things, but it also has those moments of subtlety. And a lot of times in media these days, subtlety is out the window and in the trash compactor because people don't know how to be subtle anymore.
People don't have the attention span for it.
No, not at all. They'd rather be a blunt object than a surgical strike. What is your favorite track off of A New Hope?
I think probably the throne room, the medal ceremony theme from the end. Yeah, I like it a lot. I mean, you know, the Cantina Band I've always loved, and then the main theme, and then the last battle is a good one too. I mean, they're all great. Like, you know, Leia's theme is good, but yeah, I think the throne room, that because it's got that stirring kind of, you know, I would argue every Star Wars nerd, like true deep to the core Star Wars nerd, kind of imagines that being the music they play at their wedding. So I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but it's got a cool, you know, processional thing to it.
Yes, it does. I'm just reminded of when I got married all those years ago at this point. Oh, boy. So, side story, folks, that has nothing to do with Star Wars, but it has to do with music. You probably remember Steve, but Steve Megatron, the guy that started... Okay. Steve is basically what Jason is to you for me, like best friend, 16 years, yada 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 for us and everything else.
I'm so sorry. Like,
wow. All right then.
He got what he deserved.
oh shit. Damn, Dave's got jokes today, folks. All right. So when I got married, the only thing to do was to fly him from Michigan to Chicago to be my best man. Like, what the hell else am I going to... Like, I'm not picking anybody else. So we flew him to Chicago from Michigan at the time. And my buddy Michael, our other buddy Michael Wilson, who does the Transformer stuff with me, we're currently finally getting back to and finishing off the Phineas and Ferb podcast we started back in 2016. So we're doing that. So the three of us were at my wedding, and the one thing that I wanted to do was it's in the Justice Society episode of I think it's in Legends of Tomorrow. It's, I forget what it's called, but it's by Blake Neely, but it's this big entrance theme similar to main titles, similar to Imperial March, but it was this big thing. So yeah, using music for various things. Absolutely. And for me, with favorite tracks on this, I always appreciated the death scene and the TIE fighter attack, but I don't think I appreciated it enough until I heard the song, until I heard the track out of the movie. Like, obviously, Ben's death, you know, it's Ben's death, and, you know, the clothes just, you know, it just evaporates and the clothes just fall and all that. And I'm not trying to make light of it, but I'm just saying, like, hearing it outside of the actual action of it. And then, man, I love the TIE fighter attack music.
It's good stuff.
It's good stuff. What I'm surprised here is, like, yes, we have the last battle, which is obviously the trench and, you know, the photon torpedoes and everything else. I'm surprised we don't have an X-Wing theme. Not okay. Surprised.
I mean, the X-Wing is a machine. I mean, I hesitate to say this because, of course, then I completely make a hypocrite of myself when talking about the Falcon. Mm-hmm. But the X-Wing is a machine? It's a thing?
So
I don't know.
So is the TIE Fighter, but the TIE Fighter has imposing music. The Death Star has imposing music.
Well, the Death Star is like a planet. It's like a movable space station. I don't know. I don't know. I think those sequences have music.
Oh. Yeah, but that's what I'm like. I'm not saying it. Like, I'm not saying the X-Wing. It's like, okay, what's the line? When they're in the final battle, and they've all
the Chatter Red Five.
No, not. This is a podcast. We're supposed to be chattering. Anyway, it's when they're like, prepare to make your final run.
Prepare to make your final run.
And yeah. You have all of the X-Wings coming in, and like that tune, that, and I'm sure it's in the last battle. But I'm saying like...
Well, there's a great piece of music in that battle when Red Leader has failed. And he's pulling up, and Vader's not letting go, and he's like, you know, get set to make your run. And he gets clipped, and he goes down, and there's this moment of just the pure music, this somber, like, oh, crap, now it's up to us, kind of like, and I don't, like, I don't know why, like, an X-Wing would have a, like, its sequence has a theme. Yeah. So I'm not really sure why the X-Wing itself would have a theme.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
Plus, it shares it with the Y-Wing. Like, why doesn't Y-Wing have a theme? Suddenly it becomes theme, you know, inflation. It's suddenly everybody's got to have a theme.
Theme inflation. Oh, my God, dude.
Theme creep.
I can't believe we're doing theme legislation on this podcast, folks. Holy crap. The politics of Star Wars music.
How come the Tauntaun don't got no theme? Actually, I think it does. Kind of does.
Yeah, the Tauntaun doesn't need a theme.
Oh.
Because
shots fired.
It just, you know.
X-Wing privilege.
Oh my God! Are we really gonna go with New Republic Empire privilege? Oh my God! Okay, I'm sorry I even brought it up.
The New Republic, man. They had their top SNL alumni running that place. Hard to believe it fell.
Fortunately, it's not that hard to believe that it fell.
Yeah, it's called sarcasm.
Yes, I know.
He used sarcasm. It was vicious. Huh?
All right. Anything else on Star Wars: A New Hope?
No, it's great. It's iconic. It's an amazing. I mean, it even sounds good as disco. As an owner of the Miko Galactic Funk, it's even kind of enjoyable to listen to as disco. So that's how good it is.
Absolutely. All right, Empire Strikes Back.
And yet, ironically, it's not my favorite of the three. Empire Strikes Back is my favorite of the three.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
Well, like, in every way, Empire is the superior product of the Star Wars, at this point, 900 film, whatever. Yeah, the music is lusher. We get a proper love theme, which is fantastic. We get... And we get the Hoth battle theme, which is really cool. And we get my favorite piece of Star Wars music, which is the asteroid theme.
The asteroid.
It's in my head every time I go shopping or to a convention or anywhere where there's a lot of people and you got to dodge them.
That's right. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me.
Get out of the way. Get out of the way.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, no. Empire is, I mean, it's freaking Empire. And we have, so we start with the main theme again. Now, is the main theme different in this? Because it's, they sounded different between...
I mean,
New Hope
I think up to the point where they cut, not cut, but after the point that the words drift by. I think they're basically the same. I mean, they okay. probably sound different because they were recorded on different days and maybe the tempos.
Okay.
But I mean, like, I don't remember them being noticeably, you know, like musically different until you cut to the Star Destroyer dispensing probe droids.
Yep.
Like, and then it's probe droid dispensing music. It's not chase music.
Yeah. And so I don't know if this release, this 17, well, it's supposed to be. Seeing these tracks listed the way they are, it doesn't look like they're in order of the events of the, like, going from the main theme to Yoda's theme.
Yeah, mine aren't. Mine goes from the Imperial March to Yoda's mm-hmm. theme.
Okay.
Like, the main theme is the number 6 on the thing.
Oh my god. Really? That's...
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
That's crazy.
I don't think I've listened to the proper Empire theme or soundtrack for a while there. So, yeah, I didn't realize that they were all wonky.
Yeah.
But I remember getting this album, and like by 1980 we had moved, and I was just trying to like, well, no, we hadn't moved. I was here in Springfield, but we hadn't moved here yet, and I was trying to like find a record player to listen to it. Like,
yeah.
Like, I had it, but I couldn't listen to it. It drove me crazy.
Yeah. So when eventually Disney does do another version of these, I do wish that Empire and Jedi, the tracks were in the order of the scenes of the movie. That would make the most sense to me anyway. But Battle in the Snow, I absolutely love it. I love that. The hyperspace theme, that is so cool. I always love hearing the effect or the musical effect when they do hyperspace stuff in any sci-fi spaceship stuff. The Imperial March and the main theme are obvious. I mean, everybody knows the Imperial March. It's great. Like, there's no denying the greatness of the Imperial March. City in the Clouds, that might be my favorite off this, because again, you have this fast-acting ship in the Millennium Falcon coming into the Cloud City, and you don't really get a chance. There isn't like a breath of where it's just the music in the movie itself. So hearing that outside of it, I just love that so much.
Yeah, I would say the asteroid theme is absolutely my favorite piece of Star Wars music. I also love Yoda's theme. And mm-hmm. I love Han and the Princess. I love the love theme. I love how it comes back as like an action kind of thing. When they're trying to save him from
from the Carbonite.
Yeah, from Boba Fett.
And oh, yeah, that's
the city,
true. Yeah.
And they run into R2-D2, and then, you know, then the music gets a little hopeful because they run into R2-D2, and R2-D2 gets to do cool stuff. And then it just sort of, like, crashes because they get there too late, and Slave One takes away, and gets away. Yeah, mm-hmm. I just, like I said in the last one, like Williams, you can listen to these things, and it tells a story, you know, like you said, you remember the things from the film as you listen to them, and it weaves a picture.
Yeah.
A tapestry.
Absolutely. Yes, a very nice tapestry. And yeah, I mean, even the, like, it's very well known, folks, I'm not the biggest fan of the Boba Fett character, because I don't think he has any character in these movies. He's just there to serve a purpose, and that's it. But that theme, the departure of Boba Fett, that is about as iconic as you can, like, it's top tier, just along with Imperial March in my eyes. And again, Battle in the Snow, it's one of those top tier things.
Well, and again, because like the music is almost like you were saying earlier with the hyperspace, it's yeah. like the music, it would be weird to watch an AT-AT walk without yeah. that music. It's almost like part of AT-AT's sound, you know, yep. it's got the clunk, but it's also got that dun from the music, and it is I keep saying iconic, but it is baked into our image of what an AT-AT is. That music is part of. I'm now going back on myself, making fun of you for the X-Wing theme. I mean, the AT-AT has music baked into its function, its sound, its existence. Yep.
because I think it needed that, and it deserved that, because again, these are giant walking, I'm gonna say elephants, but they're not really elephant looking.
They're famba.
Okay.
Well, they retroactively said, oh, that's where the Empire got the idea, was from the big famba from the Gungans.
Ah. Interesting. I don't think I've heard that.
They said that somewhere. I don't know if it's canon or not. Who knows what's canon or not, but it was mentioned somewhere.
But yeah, and then we have the duel, Magic Tree, Lando's Palace, and the finale. I think what I like about, and what I like about the scene overall for Asteroid Field is, up until they finally realize that it's not really, like, where they end up going to hide, it's not really a cave.
Well, that's after that music is over. Like,
yeah. It's a
different bit of music.
See, this is why I wish they were in order.
And what's funny is I found this on YouTube, is mm-hmm. Nico also did a Disco Asteroid Field version.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it's weird. It's like very jazzy, like dun 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 dun, boop 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 boop, wow. And they add Chewbacca. Like, they always added like sound effects of like you hear Chewbacca,
yeah,
R2 beeping and stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I know Steve and I have talked about this over on Geekcast Radio before on the flagship show. When they came out, and I think you probably know about them anyway, even if I didn't tell you, Galactic Empire. It's a Star Wars metal band.
No, so, I did not know about them.
Really? Oh, I'm going to have to send you some
more. However, it is weirdly like that might be an interesting Venn diagram for me and somebody I know.
It is.
He likes metal, and I like Star Wars.
Uh-huh. Yep. Because you ain't heard, like, Wayne's World, We're Not Worthy, We're Not Worthy, Imperial March is forever one of the best tracks that's ever existed. But you ain't heard the Imperial March unless you've heard it metal. Because, oh my, same thing with Cantina Band. Oh my, I'm going to send you a whole bunch of stuff later. But yeah, Empire Strikes Back. I love this. I love that they did the remastered version. I'm hoping in the future when we get to whatever anniversary we get to for all of these films, that we actually get the track list order in order of how it was in the movie, because I think that's better than just starting with the main theme, going to Yoda's theme, going to the training of the Jedi Knight.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they had the reason for doing it in that way. Like,
I'm sure so. Yeah, I'm sure too. But like,
I mean, these are, because it sounds like your copies are very similar to my copies in terms of like, except for the order per se. But
yeah.
I mean, they hit the highlights on the old soundtracks. They didn't do the whole, you know, every little tiny niggling musical cue.
But again, they could have put like, yes, the, like with what is listed on Wikipedia for this is the same thing as that's on Spotify with the remastered edition from 2018. We've already gone through the whole list, but like you could have started main theme like it is, obviously, and then you could have put the battle in the snow after that, because the Hoth battle is first, right?
Yes, obviously. Like, well, yeah. The main titles are first.
Well, no, I'm saying like when we open the movie after the crawl, they're on Hoth, right? The Hoth scene is the first scene of the movie. Yeah. So you could have
Yoda's, like, it could be that they really liked, you know, it is a very iconic theme. Yoda's theme is
yeah.
And it also was interesting because I sort of like, I remember sort of like, I feel like this almost like reinforces your argument from the last podcast where like, I was like, well, they didn't have special standalone pieces of music in the original soundtracks. And Yoda's theme might kind of be that. It might be like, here's Yoda's theme. And then they, because what Williams would do is he would have give the characters a theme, and they would have their own, the theme itself would be a piece of music by itself. And then he would work that theme into the music of the movie. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like Yoda would have a theme, and then there would be a scene with Yoda that would incorporate his theme. Like the Imperial March would have a march, and then like scenes with Darth Vader or the Empire, because it was technically Darth Vader's theme. Would feature the Imperial March. Does that make sense? And like having Yoda Steam by itself kind of feels like kind of going against what I said in the last, although I think this is the only one where they do that. Mm. And it could just be like a sequence with Yoda. I don't know. I have to listen to it again.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, absolutely. Empire Strikes Back movie is amazing. The score is amazing. And, yeah, everybody should be listening to it because it is very, very fun. All right. Getting to the revenge, the return.
Why do you keep saying revenge? Stop that.
Because it's funny. I wonder what the music would have been if it was revenge.
It would have been the same. It was the same movie.
You think?
Oh. Yeah, it was the same movie. And was it Kurtz? I can't remember who was basically like who shot down revenge, which was a good call. Return of the Jedi works better thematically.
Yeah, obviously, because you know,
and like you were like, oh, Empire's fun. It's like Empire's the dark, moody romance one. Return of the Jedi is the fun one. Where is it?
Empire.
I think it's called The Return of the Jedi. That's the one at the sail barge, which is great fun. You know, it starts out like Family Guy did a relatively funny riff on that, where you know it's like dun dun, and it keeps cutting to each character dun dun dun, and it's just building and building, and it's like dun 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 dun, and you know, Family Guy had like you know 20 characters that they cut to, whereas the movie is just like three of them. It's like Luke and Archer's getting into position, and Leia's there, and everybody's getting ready for it, and then boom, da 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 da, da. And it was just it's so cool, it's so fun.
Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why I want new versions of these is because I want as much of this music as I can possibly get. And I'm sorry, 11 tracks for Return of the Jedi just seems
it is missing a lot of stuff. I'm not sure it has Darth Vader's actual death moment.
Look
that up on on YouTube, and it is a separate little track where he passes away. Yeah, a lot of that, like the music for the final battle,
is
very truncated, which is some good stuff.
I mean, I'm not disappointed with what's here.
No, it's great.
I just want more.
You're a greedy boy, and you want more. I understand that.
Hey, look, if they have the music, why not do the, like, we had the ultimate edition of the prequel stuff. Like, we had the ultimate edition of Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones.
We got an ultimate edition of Jaws 2. I'm just saying, they can do the ultimate editions of everything.
But that's, for me, coming from someone who worked with a soundtrack company for reviewing stuff for them for years for La La Land Records, like, Every almost every release I ever reviewed for La La Land Records on GeekCastRadio.com, it was you take Titan AE, or you could take any of the Mission Impossible stuff that they've done. You can take any of the DC Animated Universe stuff that they've done. It's as complete as it can be, and for being the fun movie, it gets the short end of the stick.
I mean, it was also the third film.
I
believe the special edition version of the soundtrack is a little more complete.
Mm-hmm.
Because it also, I think this is the one that changed the most, soundtrack-wise, with the special edition.
Yeah.
Because it changed the end theme, and it changed, and of course, it swapped out Lifey Nick for Jedi Rocks.
I take it you're not thrilled with that. Yeah, holy
crap. I'm not a big fan of Jedi Rocks because Joe Yowza. Go Nite! Yeah, go. I do like the change of the even though I do like the change of the end theme, mm-hmm. which is, you know, in the original version, it's the Ewoks and don't knock, you know, and then this one, it's more musical because they also cut to all the different locations. I do like the end theme a little better in the special edition version.
Yeah, I wish that, again, I'm looking at the special edition listing, and I'm like, why don't we have this as the, there's so much music here, more than what's on the remastered version of the 11 track,
See, I think you're just – I think what you're seeing is the same – it must be the remastered versions of the official releases because it's matching up to what I have.
Yes, yes, it is.
Because well, there are like with Jaws 2, like with I haven't told this story because it makes me look stupid, but I'll tell it. When I found out that Jaws 2 was done by John Williams, I didn't know that. And I was like, must own. So I went out and I bought what I thought was the Jaws 2 soundtrack on eBay. And it turned out it was the soundtrack to Jaws that was a 2-CD.
Right.
because I wasn't paying attention. I searched for Jaws 2 and I got that by mistake. Mm-hmm. But I already had the Jaws soundtrack. So it is like the version I have, I think, was the re-release in the early 2000s, which has, like we were talking about, every piece of music. Yeah. And then I have the original soundtrack, which just has like basically the main, it's the main bullet points of the music.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, if
I'm saying like they did that with Jaws too. Why they did that with all the Jaws soundtracks, which is weird.
Very true. But that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, you're absolutely right. This is for all three of these. They are the original soundtracks remastered. So the 16 tracks for New Hope, the 17 for Empire, and the 11 for Jedi. I think they're all underwhelmingly empty as far as like I get it. You're remastering the original releases, but if you're going to remaster them, expand them as well and put
within another original releases.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I'm sure, like I know there because the stuff you had for the prequels was definitely like not what they had on the discs.
So. No, it wasn't. It was expanded editions. But again, the whole point I'm trying to make here is the track sequence, like, okay, take Jedi. There's 11 tracks, fine. Main title, story continues, okay. Into the Trap, yep, that's exactly what we do. Luke and Leia.
No, that's the final battle.
Is it? I thought that was the...
No, Return of the Jedi is the one where they the sail barge fight.
Right, right, right.
I'm pretty sure Into the Trap is dun dun. Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure that's when the fleet arrives at the Death Star.
Oh,
because you know,
okay, yeah. That's okay. See, I was thinking like Jabba's palace, the beginning of.
No.
I was thinking Luke showing up. We get Luke and Leia. We get Parade of the Ewoks. Han returning at the court of Jabba.
Yeah, when we were kids, I remember we always made jokes about someone put that tuba out of its misery.
That's right.
It was basically, I don't know if it's a tuba. It might be a French horn, but it's just some piece of brass that's like just miserably like whining.
Unfortunately, that's
fits,
what the,
but...
yeah. Unfortunately, that's what brass instruments do. They whine all the time.
Okay, but when you have it by itself for an extended period of time.
Yes. Yes. Of the 11 tracks that are here, I think for me, it's gotta be Forest Battle and the Return of the Jedi.
I agree.
I also
like Into the Trap.
Yeah, I do too. I like it, but when I was listening to this again, one of the cool, like we've been talking about this for months, folks. Hello, it's called 12 Months of Star Wars for a reason. Star Wars has. They've done everything. They've done land, air, and sea, and they've done everything, almost everything on each of those three things. And the thing that we had not seen to my knowledge at the time, this is before the prequels came out, the other two movies, like New Hope is desert, Empire is Cloud City.
Every movie had three locations.
Right, so, no, I understand. No,
but what I'm saying is like Star Wars had desert, jungle, and then like techno Death Star.
Yeah.
And then Empire had Hoth, it had snow, swamp, and gas giant. And then Jedi was again sand again, and forest, and again techno city Death Star.
Right. Right. But my point is that between the sand of New Hope, between the Cloud City in Empire, and the forest battle in Jedi, we had never seen speeder bikes because that's what happens in the forest battle. They use the speeder bikes.
I don't think they had made them up yet because I think Swoops appear in I think they appear in the comics, and I think Swoops specifically appear in the radio drama. But
probably, But like within the films, like, and when I say speeder bikes, folks, I mean speeder bikes.
I know you mean speeder bikes, but I mean swoops are basically the same thing.
Right. But I want people to make sure that they're not thinking that I'm also thinking of like Luke's speeder. I'm not. That's not a speeder bike. That's a speeder. There's a difference.
That's a land speeder.
Yeah, that's a land speeder. That's a desert crawler.
As opposed to the snow speeder, which had to be adapted for the cold.
That's right. Everything has to be adapted for the cold, except me, because I run hot like a furnace, and I thrive in the cold. Anyway,
well, I prefer that they call them air speeders these days, because you know they weren't adapted for the freaking cold. They're not very snowy if they're not adapted for the cold.
Exactly.
Stupid T-47s. They were right to abandon them.
T-47
air speeder. That's what they were.
Yep. And the sad thing is, the first thing that popped into my head was TK-421. but Jedi, again, like he already said, and I don't back down from this. Yes, you're damn right. I'm greedy. I want more. Like, I would love to get some sort of anniversary, new anniversary release of all of this music, all of the six films, plus whatever they're going to do for the...
Well, there are 9 of them now. I mean, there are...
Yeah.
There are 11 of them now.
11, yeah. Yeah.
Although, like, Solo and Rogue One weren't Williams. Rogue One, I know, was Giancarlo. Like, I'm gonna get it wrong. Not Giancarlo Esposito. It's the other guy. Well, they both have kind of the same name, and it confuses me. He's the guy who did. He works with J.J. Abrams a lot.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
He did the new Star Trek ones, and which the first one is really good, and then the second one's not that good. Well, because it's basically the first one.
Diego Luna?
No, not Diego Luna.
Not him. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
We'll be here all day trying to figure that out, folks. It's all right. What I love on Spotify, though, is when you're playing any of the Star... It doesn't matter what... it happens on the Ahsoka theme. It happens when I play Galactic Empire, the metal band. The bar, I don't want to say the
Michael Giacchino.
Oh yes, Michael Giacchino. Yeah, love that guy.
Joaquino.
Yeah. Love that guy. the progress bar is a lightsaber as the music plays on Spotify. It's just some little hilarious little thing that just makes me laugh. But no, folks, check out the original remastered versions of the original scores. Yes, unfortunately, there isn't everything here, but there's enough. Like, when I was listening, I was like, okay, yes, I want more, but what is here, I'm absolutely loving listening to this.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, like, the way that William, again... Composers look at the material and then they come up with these amazing themes, any of them, doesn't matter who it is, if it's Williams or Giacchino or anybody. And it's their job to make music that like fits the desert or fits the forest or fits a character or fits a ship or like how I forget what his name is off the top of my head, but the dude that created the lightsaber sound, how that
Denver.
Sound came. Say that again without me interrupting you.
I believe Ben Burtt.
Okay, that sounds right. I'm pretty... I saw it recently on an Instagram reel. These people are amazing. And these soundtracks, even though I wish there were more, what we have is amazing. And I love listening to them. And I love having that feeling of enjoying the movie, and this is going to sound so stupid, but enjoying the movie without having to watch the movie all the time. Like, literally, I listen to Forest Battle. I hear every scene during that music montage. All right, folks. I think we're going to go to a quick ad break unless you've got anything else you would like to say.
No, I believe I'm good.
All right, before we do that, before I forget, what would you rate each of these 0 to 5?
Oof. Boy, I I'm gonna give them all fives. I mean, you know, if like okay, as pieces of music or as the actual releases, because I mean, there's been a lot of complaining about their incomplete.
As the pieces of music,
yeah. All fives. As the releases, you could because argue 4.5 because they left out a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
but as pieces of music, absolutely all fives.
Yep, I'm right there with you because. Again, music is supposed to evoke a feeling. It's supposed to open your eyes to something or make you think about something or whatever. Any kind of music, not just this music specifically, but it's supposed to make you feel something. And when you hear Imperial March, the first thing you're going to come out of, oh, shit. Like, literally, you know, when you hear the main theme or when you hear Cantina Band's a Party, like,
yeah.
It just is. And it's cool as hell. And I love having them here. Please, Disney, give us more in the future. All right, folks. I think now we're going to go on an ad break and we're going to close the show right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Kid?
Yes?
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Night, only on GeekCast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Get...
Yes, Michael.
Just keep driving.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
All right, folks, we're back here inside Studio 2009, only on the GeekCast Radio Network. Holy crap. Love the music. Any final thoughts from you before I run through the closing, sir?
No, I mean, it's just, it's weird that it's been such a, you know, the phrase soundtrack of my life is very trite, right. But it's also kind of true. Like this stuff has been with me since I was 6 or 7 years old. Like I don't remember when the soundtracks officially hit.
Right.
But I mean, like Williams's music has been with me my whole life. I remember one time during one of the Oscars when I was still watching the Oscars and they were cutting to people like walking on, you know, on the red carpet or whatever. And I was making like jokes about, you know, like I think Annie Rooney was still alive, or not Annie Rooney, Mickey Rooney was still alive. And I made a joke about, oh, he looks like the Ugnaught. And then I made a joke about this guy, I made a joke about this guy. And then they cut to John Williams. I was like, God.
Yep. Just
the God. Yep. Guy has amazing talent. I feel a little bad because like apparently once or twice he got a little testy with Lucas, because particularly with the prequels, because Lucas was, you know, constantly editing and screwing around with them. Mm-hmm. Which makes it difficult to have to rescore everything.
Yeah.
Which is why, like, if you listen to The Phantom Menace, which I didn't get to talk about, it's very choppy. Like, the soundtrack is kind of choppy in the film because he's chopping the film around.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, this as pieces of music, they're just gorgeous. Like, we didn't even talk about the love theme from Return of the Jedi, which is a little understated, but I still think it's solid.
The Han and Leia theme. Yeah. I think the reason why it's understated is because they have so much. They don't have time for that now. Like, I love you. I know. Let's go. Like, we have to evacuate. And I don't know. I think if the Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, the love theme, because that's at the end. That's right.
It comes up when they're on when they're in the village.
Yeah.
Luke tells Leia. The truth, and that it plays there a degree.
Yeah, and that's the scene I started thinking about just now because I was like, oh right, yeah.
Where in the theater? Oh my god! Like I saw the special editions in the theater. God bless her. God bless her soul. But man, she looked just. They're always ravaged allegations. They're just allegations.
Ravaged just, by time is like what I was going to say. Yeah.
Out of cocaine before that scene. Because she looks bad. Like she looks wiped out. Like if you project it onto a giant movie screen,
mm-hmm.
It does not look good.
So here's the thing, and I've said this.
I just had to use this opportunity to take one last cheap shot at the beloved actress Carrie Fisher.
David Draper, Star Wars Monster of the Year.
Yeah, I know. I'm working on it. Well, I've done it before. Like I was very critical. The first time I ever reviewed Force Awakens in a podcast, I was very harsh. Not about her voice. Her voice.
Yeah. Yeah,
and listening to it again, like it wasn't as bad as I remember it being, but like I remember being very harsh about her voice that she'd smoked a lot.
Yeah, I'm the type of guy that I like women with long hair, but man, she looks much better with the buns. That long hair scene at the end was a little rough.
Yeah,
but. But yes, folks, John Williams, he is a maestro. He is a master of music. He will always be a master of music. I'm pretty sure he retired at this point.
I don't know. I mean, he did. I think they said that Indy 5 was his last soundtrack.
Yeah, probably. Which is weird,
because like, I don't know.
I don't know what else he's going to do.
Well, no, but I was going to say, I don't know if Spielberg's ever done a film without him. I know I looked that up once, but I've forgotten it since then. I don't think he has. Which is going to be weird, like a Spielberg film without John Williams.
Yeah, it will be. I mean, of course, again, take with grain of salt, Wikipedia, years active, 1952 to present. Holy crap, he's been doing music for that long.
Oh, I mean...
No, I'm not...
No, I'm sitting there going like, I mean, yeah. You just have to, like, write. Yeah. If you're talented, it should... I mean, I don't want to dismiss what he does because the man's a genius. And there are certain areas of creativity that I have tremendous respect for. And one of them is music because I'm not good at it. And I can't sing. I can't carry a tune. I don't understand how to write it. I don't understand the language of it. So when someone does that and does it well, like someone does it at all, I have respect for them. Someone does it like next level. When I said God at the Oscars, I was only being slightly facetious. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, like that and being able to draw stuff, I have respect for people who can do that. And so I like, but at the same time, you know, it's not like digging a ditch. It's not like a very physical activity. Like, I mean, it's one of those things, like if you're healthy and you still love it, you could do it probably right up to the end. Even acting, like,
yeah.
You know, you get a little old and you get a little pokey and it becomes hard to do. Like, I mean, I honestly don't know what conducting really. I think most people have a very
generic,
facetious idea of could they just stand there and you wave the wand. And I'm sure it's more than that. I know it's got to be more than that.
Yep.
But at the same time, like you just write the thing and like people play it. And
yeah,
I don't know. Like in theory, that's a thing he could keep doing forever.
Absolutely.
Until like, that one, like I'm not big on celebrity passings. I don't get very misty eyed, but I think, partly because, you know, a lot of times by the time they pass, they've been out of the eye for, you know, they're not doing anything. It's a very selfish attitude where, like, I'm like, well, they're not going to do anything else, you know. Like, their career is pretty much over anyway because they're too old to do anything else. So we're not losing anything by them going. And I always say, I'm sure it's very tragic for the family, for the people who love them. But, you know, I don't know these people. I didn't know James Earl Jones. I've heard he was a really nice guy, and every story's been very positive about him. And I'm sure it's very sad for people who love him and know him well. But I wasn't I literally had someone call or send a text and say, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. John Williams will hit a little harder than most because he could keep writing movie themes until the day he goes, as far as I know. So, like, that losing him will be a loss, a true loss.
That
came out wrong.
No, but you're right. No, absolutely. I attacked
Carrie Fisher. Now I'm attacking literally everybody with John Williams.
No, stop. You're fine. But it's one of those things where you're absolutely correct. It's going to be a huge loss for the music world, for the world at large. And, you know, I mean, like, and for me, looking at the man's filmography again.
He did Lost in Space.
Yeah, I know.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's mind-blowing.
Right. But you know where else that as a young kid in the 80s that I remember, he was the head conductor of the Boston fucking Pops.
Well, yeah.
Like, but hello, me, you know, growing up and, you know, being born and grown up in Massachusetts, like, I literally remember listening to the Boston Pops all the time. And it only took me 40-something years to realize that most of the
waving his stick around
was Mr. Star Wars. But I mean, like, yeah, like, between Indiana and Star Wars and Jaws and
Jurassic Park
and you know what else, which I need to contact my buddies over at La La Land Records to see if I can get these, Home Alone and Home Alone 2.
The
like
first two Harry Potter films.
Yep.
He did the Harry Potter theme, Hedwig's the owl's theme is John Williams.
Yep.
Like the iconic music from that series is John Williams. Like, yeah, he's fucking John Williams, period. Mic drop.
Yeah. Like, no, the absolutely. Man
is a genius.
Please don't drop me. I don't like being dropped.
Microphone.
Yeah, I know what you meant.
I know you know what I meant.
I always make that joke. But, like, and I have to go back and rewatch this movie. I remember this movie. But, like, he did the music to the Julia Roberts movie Stepmom in 1998. Like.
Okay. He did Close Encounters. He did E.T. I mean, like I said, he did everything Spielberg. So.
Yep. Everything.
There's a great one. Did you ever see Catch Me If You Can?
Yes. Just scrolled to it. Yep.
It's this great jazzy 60s kind of thing. It's very cool.
Yeah, and we are, I'm assuming, like Catch Me If You
I enjoyed that movie, yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, we'll do that at some
point. It's my favorite line of any movie, which is, you know, they're making fun of Tom Hanks for not being funny. He goes, knock, knock. And they're like, who's there? Fuck you.
The last thing that he worked on was... Yeah, Dial of Destiny, and
they made a big deal that that's his last one.
Yeah, I mean, there is something here listed: the Sugarland Express original motion picture soundtrack from
that 74. Was Spielberg's first.
Was it really?
Yes.
Interesting.
You didn't know that?
Premiere?
There must be a remastered one.
Well, no, what I didn't know was that it's. I gotta go to their website in a minute. Sugarland Express original motion picture soundtrack 1974 released 2024 by La La Land Records. So I did not know that it was La La Land that was doing that.
I'm sure that's because it's John Williams and
Spielberg. I mean, yeah.
Well, as opposed to like that's a thing that I know but I only know it because of Steven Spielberg. Like it's you know what I'm saying is it's not a movie that most people.
Yeah.
Remember or care about very much.
No, you're right.
And his first movie was the TV movie Duel about a killer truck.
Mm.
Not Williams, Spielberg.
Right. So the La La Land, yeah, it's got 24 tracks from the Sugar Land Express. You can buy it today for $22.98. It's one disc composed and conducted by John Williams. And yeah, you're absolutely right. That's not a movie that I even like. I remember the name of the movie. That's all I remember, unfortunately. All right, folks. I think that's going to do it for us. Coming up next, you will hear Dave and I in the beginning of the sequel trilogy as we attend The Force Awakening.
So that's we're splitting those up?
No, we already did them.
No, but what I mean? Oh, okay.
We've already recorded them. No. There's gonna.
My mistake was we're recording all three soundtracks, but we've already recorded the movie.
These are the movies. This is the movie. So we're going. So order of release. In December this year, folks, we're going Christmas crazy. Episode 101 will be Deadpool and Wolverine with a bunch of my friends. And then you already heard Dave and I do the prequel scores. And then we're doing the original trilogy scores here. And then episode 104, 5, and 6, we're doing A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. Not really. It's Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and Rise of Skywalker. And then after that, we've got two very special episodes with Star Wars and more movie memories and all that good stuff with Mr. Craig Miller. So we've got that special thing coming up. And then the holiday special with the Lego holiday special. And then I feel like the lady from Dude, Where's My Car? And then to the scores of the sequel trilogy. After that, it'll be just one more thing. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you for joining us here inside Studio 2009. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there's several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. A reminder to everyone that we are not on YouTube Music. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any audio podcast client you can think of, we're there, except Google doesn't have audio podcasts anymore because Google Podcasts is no longer a thing. But a reminder to folks, we are not on YouTube Music because that's just But if you're on an Android device, you can have us on Spotify. If you're on an Apple device, you can have us on Apple Podcasts or the iTunes Store or wherever. You can find us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio for the network, at It's Studio 2009 for the show. I am at TFU and Mike. Dave doesn't do Twitter. You can check us out on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. As well as searching out Studio 2009 podcast over there as well. Next time, as I mentioned, Dave and I will be talking about in the 12 months of Star Wars, we start the sequel trilogy with Episode 7, The Force Awakens. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with
David Draper.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.